Welcome back to the Entrepreneurs Podcast, the podcast for and by female entrepreneurs hosted by the Entrepreneurs Network. Each week, we bring to you stories of female entrepreneurs around the world as we kickstart our own journeys together.
Today, we are delighted to have on Camden Hogg, founder of the Happy Place Hospitality Group, a food and beverage company in Shanghai that aims to serve up the highest level of hospitality and create memorable dining experiences. They currently have 9 venues across Shanghai, consisting of 7 different brands. Camden is also the founding partner of Social Supply Shanghai, a full-scale events agency bringing unique experiences to every customer.
Join us as we talk with Camden about finding your calling and adapting through changes in your life journey. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. We are so excited to have Camden here today as our special guest.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you. So just to start it off, we ask this question to all our guests just to keep it nice and light to begin with. And that is, what excites you when you wake up in the morning?
Wow. I would say I get most excited about the prospect of a brand new day every day, because especially in hospitality, every day is a fresh start. So no matter how much progress you made the day before, how many people you made happy, you have to start from scratch every day. So for me, it's always the possibility of new beginnings and knowing that you have to work very hard every day to make people happy and have a good experience.
I love that. I think that's so important to like live every day to the fullest. For our guests who don't know you, could you explain a little bit more about your entrepreneurial journey and like who you are? Give us a short bio.
Sure. So I was born originally in New Jersey in America, and I grew up between New Jersey, New York City, and Jackson, Wyoming, actually.
I'm in New Jersey right now.
Oh, nice. I actually went to Lawrenceville, very close to where you are.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, just around the corner. So I love Princeton. It's such a great little town. Has everything you possibly need as a university town. And I loved being at high school there because it's such a great community. So spent my youth in New Jersey, in and out. And then I went to university actually in Scotland at the University of St. Andrews. Which very random. I ended up there because I wanted to do a year-long academic gap year, but I ended up falling in love with it. And so I stayed actually for a 4-year full degree. So after St. Andrews, I moved down to London to work in advertising for Saatchi & Saatchi. And I had so much fun there, really enjoyed it. I think having graduated with a University of Arts education and a art history background, I didn't really know what I wanted to do or what I could do with, especially with that kind of degree. But I ended up doing advertising because it was very interdisciplinary and was very relevant to popular culture. I had a lot of strategic back end. I had a great time and spent about 2 years in London doing that. But I'd say my entire childhood, university experience, time in London, everything really was all about the food. So ever since I was super little, I always treated my kitchen like a little restaurant serving my family. And it was always a pipe dream to have my own place one day. But I think growing up in New York and London, the bar was so high that it was hard to envisage ever having one myself. But when my agency, actually, Saatchi & Saatchi, offered me a position at a few different of their offices elsewhere in the world, I ended up in Shanghai, and I never thought I'd be here. So it was a very sudden, fresh start, but a really fun one. But there are many, many more opportunities here to potentially get into hospitality, into F&B. And that's what I eventually did. So I left my advertising job about a year into being in Shanghai. Before I left, I actually had started a small community called Shanghai Supper Club. And we would meet once a month in a new location with a new chef and a new experience. So kind of an immersive dining club that popped up around the city with new people each time. And that was an amazing way to start a community that eventually started supporting my first restaurant when I opened it about 6 years ago. So since then, have grown from that single restaurant into, I now have 9 venues, 7 brands across those 9 venues as a hospitality group. And my small little supper club has now become an events agency. So I kind of balance my time between those at the moment.
Camden, that is absolutely amazing. And as someone who's fairly new to Shanghai and seeing the growth and the possibilities of you coming here and just really making it your home with your own spin is absolutely amazing. One of the favorite things that you told me is that Egg, one of your restaurants, was the first place here to actually serve avocado toast. And I'm a huge fan of avocado toast. So I'm very happy with that. But one thing I really want to talk to you about is at a recent event that Entrepreneurs in Action put, which is the entrepreneurial community that I started here in Shanghai a few months ago, we had you as a founder. And you mentioned this idea of calling your career not a career, but calling it your calling. So I was wondering if you can tell us a little bit about the idea that like led you to that. And then also I would love if you could explain what your calling is.
Sure. I think that's something I've been focusing on a lot recently. So it's fun that you want to ask a little bit more about that. I think especially when I was younger, so in university, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do in terms of a job or a career. I think there were so many options and I was in love with everything. And it was very hard to narrow down and move towards one career path because, as Sylvia Plath put it, you know, picking up one fig means you leave the rest to rot. So it felt like if I went down one direction, would I be leaving everything else behind? And I think that's what probably brought me originally towards advertising. But as I mentioned, ever since I was very, very young, I loved food and beverage. I always was attracted to the idea of bringing people together around a table and having very unique experiences with food. I think that especially when we do find our callings, it often connects to something that is nostalgic for us, something that we get a lot of satisfaction out of because it comes from a place of love and the history of whatever we've been attracted to for a long time. So for me, I guess my calling, I always knew that would be towards food and beverage and hospitality. So when I first got into F&B, when I opened my first place, I think that I thought that my calling might be, although I knew it was within food and beverage and hospitality, I think it was more towards creating a really amazing experience for people and allowing people to feel genuine hospitality. I think as we grow within our careers and as we grow and change as people, often the calling shifts slightly. And recently I've been feeling a little bit more drawn towards not only creating experiences in single venues, but actually allowing the world to experience what China has to offer in food and beverage. I've been so enamored with the culture that I've been lucky enough to experience here. And so I'd really love to be able to expose more people around the world towards Chinese food and beverage and food culture here.
I love that. When you mentioned you found your calling, I think that's so important, especially at the college level. Do you have any advice for college students of how they can find their calling?
That's a great question. If I was to think back to the time that I was spending in university, I think I was joking with Allie recently about the fact that I was probably more hungover for the majority of the time, rather than sounding like the productive human I am right now. but I would say allowing yourself to explore all of the possibilities is the beauty of university. Not putting too much pressure on yourself to really hone in on one thing. I think we were all very beneficial to go to liberal arts colleges. My university actually in the UK was a little bit more narrow because British education systems, you have to specialize earlier. But we as a Scottish university, we got to take up to 3 different classes at one time instead of only focusing in one discipline, which was very wide for them. I know that sounds kind of crazy where you guys, your class load is probably 6 to 8 different disciplines at one time. But I would say I'm almost envious of that because you should be exploring all these weird things. You should be getting into the most niche and random kind of, I don't know, whatever seems least attractive to you on the syllabus is probably going to end up being some strange passion of yours in the future. So I think use this time and really get into everything and just try to see what your pressure points are and where the passion gets drawn out.
That is such beautiful advice. I think we can all really take that to heart because I think usually there's this pressure, especially around entrepreneurship, that we see these incredible stories of people like starting these billion-dollar unicorn companies and university, dropping out and then having these crazy successes, but that's not necessarily your story. Another thing I just wanted to highlight and kind of talk about is how you mentioned how you think having this corporate background or at least a couple of years in more of like a structured company actually helped you build your entrepreneurial journey, your own venture. So I was wondering if you can explain why you think it's more beneficial sometimes for university students to have some company corporate experience before they actually go in and start their own thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's very romantic to think that the way forward is inventing a product or starting a small company when you're even, you know, in high school now, I'm sure people are advancing even more rapidly because of technology, and just you kids are so precocious these days. I feel very old. at the tender age of 30 something, I feel very old. But I actually do advocate for being able to really take your time and explore in university, and then also joining maybe even a larger company right after, because for me at least, I really benefited from learning on someone else's time, getting a mentor figure who I think you can always learn to find mentor figures wherever you are, but I was very, very lucky to have been presented with one kind of fresh out of my grad scheme in my advertising agency. And just being taught all of those little details that will benefit you so much in the long term. It's so unsexy, but everything from internship levels through entry-level jobs will teach you all the little things that will not only allow you to excel with those, you know, attention to detail, ability to schedule yourself. Time management's a big thing. All of, you know, the tools of being able to build a good presentation, for instance. But it'll also let you watch those around you, people who, the roles that you eventually want to grow into, and learn from them just through immersion and I guess just absorption of all of the skills around you. You can definitely take that later in life and benefit even more. And not only that, I think it allows you to empathize more with the people that you eventually hire. I feel so confident in my own abilities because I've done everything from wash the dishes in the restaurants to create, you know, the basic Excel sheets that allow me to build my P&Ls, and so I can analyze anything. So I think that coming from the bottom really allows you the best possible position for yourself. You'll never feel as though there's a job you can't do or don't know how. And therefore, you make everybody replaceable, which is super important as a business owner.
Yeah, for sure. I think that your experiences like resonate a lot, especially at the college level. Like, you can start with something so small, and like that can really help you out like in the future. How would you say that the world of food and beverage continue to innovate now? And like, what have you seen in China? And like, where do you hope to, I guess, expand in the future?
That's a great question. I think in terms of basic innovation, I think there's still so much that we need to do for waste management and sustainability. I think that for me is one of the hot buttons and something I'm starting to try to focus more on, especially in the modern days, just delivery. And especially in China, I'd say delivery is so prevalent for the way that we receive our food and beverage, and the amount of waste from those, you know, the disposable cutlery, the amount of packaging, but also the social impact of the way that drivers are paid and treated and how they get injured on the road and how they end up, it affects their families take home and come back home whenever there's a little thing that impacts their daily delivery schedules. Not to mention, I guess, all of the exhausts from the fumes from their bikes. I think that there's so many different elements that we all can focus on as owners. I also would love to be able to understand better the role of cold chain here in China and how much food travels. I think all around the world, we're importing things that are at peak season all the time. And that's just unrealistic. And here, especially, the luxury of being able to more recently get anything you want at any time is kind of being exploited to a level that we need to control. So being able to celebrate more local ingredients, finding better producers closer to us. Yeah, these are things that I'd like to work on more, and I think we all can do better with.
That is such an important point you hit on, especially in terms of worker sustainability, because usually when we touch on sustainability, it's more from like the environmental point of view, which is of course super important. But I think like social sustainability is another thing too. And you point to like the Ele.me and the Meituan drivers, which is like the China equivalent of like DoorDash and Uber Eats. And yeah, they're really not treated well. So I really appreciate your ethics in that and acknowledging that. Another question we have for you today is how you think that China allowed you to really kind of put your dreams into reality. Like, so what advice would you have for someone kind of coming to China? And what's been your experience entering a new market, not speaking the language, not knowing the culture, and how perhaps this allowed you to have this maybe a competitive edge in entrepreneurship? You didn't know how things went, so that allowed you to be more creative. Any thoughts on that? Any notes or ideas?
Yeah, I definitely didn't think I was going to end up here. I definitely did not foresee myself ever starting my own business or owning what is now a much larger entity than even 5 years ago, what I could have imagined. So I feel really lucky. I think taking things as they come and rolling with the punches and making the most of what's presented to you is very, very important. I think a friend and I always joke, she has a business here as well. She actually has the cookie company that gives NYU its amazing cookies on campus, I believe. she always jokes that, you know, anything is possible in China, but everything is difficult. And I'm sure that that can be the same for many places in the world. I think you just have to have this perseverance that even if there is, cultural misunderstanding or just needing to really push through to get somewhere, especially here in China, there are a lot of changing laws or gray areas, or you have to have certain connections to be able to execute something. You just have to push through and be super, super disciplined and dedicated, and you can make anything happen. So I feel lucky because since university, I've always been a little bit of an outsider. So as in university, I wasn't British, and I could kind of come in as an American and learn more about the culture by asking what might be stupid questions. Here, I could also do the same. And I feel like I've learned so much by being in that outsider point of view. So not letting that be, creating a victim mindset, but allowing you to use that to your advantage and ask and learn as much as you can as somebody who's new to a culture. I think that that's also a really productive mentality to have.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I need to have that like on my wall or something to remind me. I was just wondering, Paula, you mentioned that you faced this feeling of being like an outsider. And I was just wondering, like, how has your entrepreneurial journey changed the way you looked at failures? And like, what have you been able to learn from your experiences or your challenges?
That's a great question. I think the classic adage of, making lemonade out of lemons, it definitely holds true. You have to take every bad or weird situation and just make the absolute most out of it. And I think especially now, and especially in China, things move so fast and you have to stay on top of the cultural changes all the time. I mean, here, one minute you're in, next minute you're out, one minute you're hot, next minute you're not. And so just constantly innovating, changing, pivoting, always trying to present new information, new experiences, that's super important. And I think that it's allowed me to learn to work at a pace where I feel like if I was to move anywhere else in the world, I'd probably be, at the leading end of the curve, which is really exciting. So I feel like the sheer pace of life and the fact that social media has accelerated it even more, just being able to make the best out of a bad experience, especially in your mind, is very, very valuable.
Do you have any advice on how to make any situation like a learning experience?
I guess that for me, I'm very stubborn. I never take no for an answer, and I refuse to look at things as a dead end. And so it really is about an abundance mindset. How do we keep thinking this is a good blessing or a lesson? And lesson, the other word people would use is failure, but I think it's a lesson. Just being abundant about like, this is something that came to me for a reason. I need to learn and make the most out of this and figure out the best next step.
That is amazing. I love that. And then just to kind of wrap things up slowly, I think we have arguably our most important question, which is blending innovation, entrepreneurship, and with food. What is the most innovative / like creative dish you've had lately? Like some cool fusion food, some cool design, what is it? Give us a verbal description of a food journey.
That's a tough question. It's especially tough, I think, because I've been going back to basics a lot more recently. I think when you're super lucky as I am, and I 100% acknowledge this, to be surrounded by amazing food and beverage every day, whether it's at my places or at my close friends' places, you get kind of spoiled. And so whenever I have been eating out recently, I've been going for, the mom and pop noodle shops and jiaozi places, very dumplings, things that are very, very simple. But the most innovative thing I've eaten recently, I guess not so innovative, but very interesting to me. I've been going to a Guizhou restaurant, which is near us. Guizhou is a region of China, which is close to Tibet and Laos and Cambodia and Thailand. And the food there is just so interesting. It's punchy, fiery, sour, fermented. It's a totally different style of food that I would have never associated with, let's say, China, but also things that I haven't eaten before. And a lot of the food was actually invented out of scarcity. They're a breadbasket for sure, but they also have, because it's a growing area, they have very extreme climates. So in the summer, everything is warm and beautiful and they have a lot of excess. Then comes harvest time and then it gets very cold in the winter. And I think most of the best innovative food comes from scarcity. So the things that they do to preserve and pickle and dry and, all the ways that they can make it through the winter lead to such incredible nuanced flavor. So I recommend everybody going to Mal Lago if you're in Shanghai. It's a very, very cool restaurant.
Weilin, I'll take you when you come to Shanghai.
I know. I gotta get a flight back. We are going to start wrapping up this podcast, but we have a few ending questions we like to give our guests. The first one is, what are you most grateful for today?
I am specifically grateful for my dog today because he makes me happy. So most days I would say that, but today especially. Yeah.
What type of dog do you have?
I have a rescue. He kind of looks like a wonky mix between a yellow lab and a beagle, and he has a Shiba butt, so he's kind of a weird combo, but he's super
kind
cute.
Of like third culture dog, if you will.
Exactly, yeah. And his name is Happy, so he's a good reminder to make me happy every day.
Oh yes, Camden, want to tell our guests and Waylon what your group is called?
Oh yeah, very cheesy, but something that also makes me happy. It's called Happy Place Hospitality Group, and that came from a combination of Danny Meyer's theory that you need to make your team happy before they can make guests happy, before you can eventually make, you know, your shareholders and your business partners happy. And also a guest once told me, you know, your places are my happy place. And I thought that there couldn't be a higher compliment. So I've been very, very privileged to been able to steal that for our group name.
It's amazing. And we also just wanted to ask you a question we ask all our guests, which is, what is something specifically today that you love about yourself?
That's a really hard thing. I think with high pressure jobs and with, I don't want to say success, because I definitely think success is an abstract word and also something that one should struggle for and never achieve. with high pressure jobs and responsibilities comes a lot of self-doubt and a lot of being hard on yourself and pushing yourself for more. And so that's a great question, because it's something that everybody should remind themselves of, especially when they're, you know, struggling through some harder things at work or in life. One thing that I am grateful for myself about is, I guess, my weird mind. I think I did a couple new menu items for one of my venues today, and we were mixing Japanese and Mexican flavors for a Cinco de Mayo event that's going to be next month. And so I did like a Japanese nachos, and then I did a mole hot dog. So it's, yeah, I'm really excited about it, but I think my mind works in a very strange way. So sometimes I'm grateful for that. Other times it's harder.
That's amazing. And I will be going there. That is fantastic. I am sorry, Waylon, that you cannot experience this with me.
I
will definitely be sending you some photos. I will definitely be posting on Instagram. Don't even worry about it. You can live vicariously through my food.
I'm so excited.
You gotta open some places in New Jersey.
Yeah, come home. Yeah, you
can come home. I wish. Yeah, one day, whenever we can travel, I'll definitely be back to Jersey.
Can't wait. And our last question for you today is, if you were to give a couple sentences about what it means to be an entrepreneur, what would those sentences be?
I think it's funny, and I don't know if I should say this, but recently I read Elon Musk come back to somebody. I think the person had asked, what words of encouragement would you give to young entrepreneurs? And he said, if you need words of encouragement, you shouldn't be an entrepreneur. And I really, although that sounds very dark, there's a lot of truth there. I think you have to be your own light. You have to be your own source of hope and inspiration and resilience. And I think especially as women, that's what we're built for. We are our own sources of resilience and strength. And so I'm really, you know, proud of our gender, I guess, anyone who selects as our gender, because I think that that's what we're made for. And so every day, just reminding myself, and we can remind ourselves, that we are strong and we can move forward and push through anything. And surrounding yourself with other people who remind you of that too is very important.
It is so, so, so impactful. I think I speak for not only Waylon and myself, but all our guests listening, that is such important advice that we're all going to be definitely taking to heart. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today and your time. I know things can be super, super busy, especially running everything that you are. So we really appreciate your time and your incredible words of wisdom, your advice, and everything in between.
Not at all. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to being back in a Jersey diner soon. So Waylon, hopefully I can meet you over there. Hopefully.
Where can our audience find you if you want to shout yourself out?
Yeah, no worries. My Instagram is Camden Hauge, CamdenHauge. I'm the only one that keeps it easy. And then my, I guess, hospitality group is Happy Place Hospitality Group. And my events agency is Social Supply Shanghai. So yeah, hit me up on IG. That's probably the best way.
Well, thank you so much. And I will definitely be at one of your restaurants soon and hope to see you again. Yes. And Waylon, you will be seeing her soon as well when you come here. We will take you there immediately.
That wraps up today's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you learned a lot about Camden and her various projects.
Great thanks to Stephanie and Wynn as our podcast producers too.
Check out our upcoming episodes and look out for our future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast now.
To stay updated and involved, join the Entrepreneurs Network community on our Instagram and LinkedIn and get in touch with us to share your very own journey.